guys have noticed our cost cutting.
Yeah, we're dead serious about it.
We need to get the memo about that word time.
Summertime.
Some people would wear it even with a memo, wouldn't they?
They may be waiting on somebody out there. Let me go out and check with them, okay?
That word, are you still on the drive one? We need it up there.
I thought we said that.
I did too. Yeah, just not, yeah, that's it.
Yes, sir. Here, this is a revised agenda.
Okay. It's now past 9:30, June 25th. I call this meeting to order. Everyone, please stand and join us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Mr. Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes. We'll move on to resolutions to be adopted. Okay, we're waiting on some people, I think, for the 9:30. So, Tammy, you want to take us through that?
First, we have a resolution to consider, and I think we have some representatives to make a few comments on it. This is a Westchester JED 1, a Joint Economic Development District. This resolution is to acknowledge receipt of the documents and also approve the creation. And let me quickly summarize the resolution and then we'll let Brian speak. Whereas Westchester Township, City of Fairfield, City of Springdale, contracting partners or parties, have jointly filed with Butler County documents for the creation of a joint economic development district for property located at the northwestern corner of Cincinnati-Dayton Road and Union Center Boulevard in Westchester Township. Whereas the contracting parties have jointly filed with Butler County the JED contract, description of the area in the district, the economic development plan, certified copies of resolutions from the contracting parties, a certificate from each contracting party verifying or providing an affidavit of the meetings required, public hearings required by each public entity, and a petition signed by the property owner. And whereas the originating township and the contracting parties has represented and acknowledged that the creation of the joint economic district has complied with the conditions set forth in section 715.77A1 2A through C of the Higher Revised Code, and whereas the Butler County Administrator acknowledges the receipt of the documents described herein and shall place such documents in permanent file of, you know, Butler County. after the presentation, would consider a motion that to be resolved that the Board of Butler County Commissioners acknowledges receipt of the required documents and approves under Section 715-77-82 of the Ohio Revised Code, the creation of the Joint Economic Development District in Westchester Township. Brian?
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and good morning, and appreciate your time, and also for placing us on the agenda this morning. I don't have very much to add about the JED. I know you all have seen JEDs in the county before, so you're familiar with them, but I can tell you it was a really interesting process for us. We're really excited at the township, and I can speak on behalf of our contracting parties as well, City of Fairfield and City of Springdale. It was a process of bringing everybody together, the various interests, and then working together to come to a solution that I think benefits everybody, including the company that will be operating in the JED district. So I thank you for that, and of course, if you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to try and answer them.
Great.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian, the company operating within that JED, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jim.
Is...
It will be General Electric. Y'all have probably seen the buildings going up there. Of course, we're excited about that. You recall earlier on, end of 08, an enterprise zone agreement came through that also gave some abatements for that property. It's kind of a total package going on that we could incentivize to help get that company into Butler County. So very excited about that.
Okay. I'm sorry, Don.
It's okay. Any questions?
I don't have any questions.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brian. We know you've put a lot of work into this, and it will be a great benefit to both Westchester and Fairfield and the rest of the county. Actually, will benefit from it. So we appreciate all your time and efforts.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
We next have nine separate resolutions that I will read, and we will consider one motion to approve all nine. These nine resolutions involve the exchange of bonds, and they are as follows. Exchange bond at the Knolls of Liberty Estates, Section 1. Knolls of Liberty Estates, Section 2. The Knolls of Liberty Reserve, Section 1. The Knolls of Liberty Reserve, Section 2. The Knolls of Liberty Reserve, Section 3. The Meadows of Aspen Trails, Section 1. Meadows of Aspen Trails, Section 2. Meadows of Aspen Trails, Section 3. Meadows of Aspen Trails, Section 4A.
Jim, you did say 2A. You mentioned 2. I'm not sure if it's, you know, it's a small little point, but it's Section 2A and then Section 2 of Liberty Reserves.
Okay, that's
and, right. And I second the motion.
Thanks for the correction and the second. Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon abstain.
Travel and training.
Okay, today we have, it looks like five travel and training to consider today. First is Rob Lyons, Area 1 Court Judicial Training, the Association of Municipal Court Judges Summer Conference, $900, Newark, Ohio, July 19 to 22. Next we have Cynthia Brown, CSCA, $200, Cleveland, Ohio, June 25th to June 26th. To attend the OCDA Metro meeting. Next, we have Donna Everson, Community Development. This would be paid out of a Neighborhood Stabilization Fund. This is training on the grant coordination of the Neighborhood Stabilization Fund, $845, Chicago, Illinois, July 5, 6, and 7. Next, from Desmond Matea, Community Development, Neighborhood Stabilization, again paid by Neighborhood Stabilization Fund, training on execution of the Neighborhood Stabilization Fund, $1,025, Fort Worth, Texas, July 12th to July 14th. Now as we move on to finance resolutions.
Sorry about that. I've already looked at it, I've seen it.
Okay, we have seven items to consider today. First is a an increase in budget of $12,356 into various general fund departments to cover unemployment compensation paid, and a decrease in the taxes and insurance fund of the same amount in order to transfer those dollars from the insurance department to the respective operating departments. Item number two, health insurance fund 110. We have an increase in budget of $611.22 due to a COPA overpayment. This will enable a refund of that overpayment. Next, item three, Job and Family Services, Fund 1780. This is a transfer between accounts of $3,000 in order to accommodate unemployment compensation payments. Item number four, Sewer Fund, Fund Number 3500. This is an increase of $477.98 for a sewer refund to provide the sewer credit. Next is item number five, the Sewer Replacement and Improvement Fund, Fund 3520. These are transfers between projects and between accounts, no budget change. There's a transfer of $57,000 between from the LS projects to the Indian Trace projects, and then a transfer of $59,000 from the Replacement Improvement Fund to the Indian Trace project. Item number six, the Water Fund, Fund 4100. We have an increase of $17,521.77 in order for a first payment, principal payment on the OPWC Water Main Replacement Loan. And then finally, under item number seven, we have a decrease in budget for the fund for the Butler County Regional Transit, Fund Number 6125. In the amount of $928,414, as this agency will no longer be reported through the Butler County as fiscal agent. Under finance, we have a request to authorize the transfer of the state mandated share to Job and Family Services from the general fund. The amount will be $96,161.92 per month. As we move into personnel, we have two personnel items to consider. First is to accept and place on file to Job Family Services employee payroll for the period June 6, 2009 to June 19, 2009. All the changes in the individual rates of pay have been verified back to previously approved resolutions by the Butler County Commissioners. Next, we have a request to terminate 24 Job Family Services Summer Youth Employment Program employees effective June 22nd, 2009. Actually, the number looks like it's 25 now. Basically, these were people that applied and were accepted into the Summer Jobs Program that was funded out of stimulus money, but either are no-shows or are no longer interested in participating in that particular program. We do have, however, 313 people currently involved in that summer work program, you know, which basically includes ages from 16 to 22, again, paid by direct stimulus dollars. So we move on to Job and Family Services. We have 12 items to consider today. First is to approve a child care contract with the Presbyterian Church, July 109 to June 30, 2010, in the amount of $171,400. Next is approve a child care contract with the Consolidating Learning Centers, Inc. for a period July 109 to June 30, 2010, $61,400. Next is to approve a first amendment to a child care contract with Presbyterian Creative Center for Children to create an additional funding of $644.93. Next is to approve a Job Family Services agreement with Community Mental Health Board for assessment purpose services for the period July 1, 2009 to June 30, 2010, in the amount of $125,000 even. Next, we have this is one of the contracts reviewed last week by Job and Family Services. This is an agreement with Legal Aid Society of Cincinnati for $60,000 for a period July 1, 2009 to June 30, 2009. The Legal Aid Society this contract promotes income tax use of the earned income credit by low-income people. Next is to approve a Job and Family Services agreement with the Butler County United Way for the Community Grant Consortium. This is a period July 1, 2009 to June 30, 2010 for up to $86,000. Next, Job and Family Services requests you to approve an agreement with Butler County Common Pleas Court for Employment Services for the period July 1, 2009 to June 30, 2010. The amount of $43,492. Next, we have a request to extend a contract, a case management contract with Malachi, extend 3 months, and also pick up the employment services counseling of the summer youth program that's involved in the summer work program. This is an extension of 3 months. And an increase in the contract for $242,000 even. Next, to approve a Children's Services agreement for residential placement services with Fairfield Academy. This is a period July 1, 2009 to June 30, 2010, in the amount of $200,000. Next, Children's Services agreement is presented to you for Tri-State Youth Academy for residential placement services. This is for the period July 1, 2009 to June 30, 2010, in the amount of $250,000. Next is to approve an amendment to Job and Family Services' current agreement with Community Behavioral Health. This extends the agreement for 3 months and increases the contract by $182,000. These are one of the contracts that were reviewed with Job and Family Services about a week or so ago, and after that review, it was identified that this particular project would be one that we should seek bids on. So this extension allows time to go out and prepare the specs and seek bids for this particular contract. Approve a First Amendment. The next one is to approve a First Amendment Job and Family Services agreement with United Way. There's no dollar change in this particular contract. This is a reallocation within the budget line items of this particular agreement. Next, as we move on to the engineer has 4 items for you to consider today. First is they advertise for bids for Southwest paving of various roads and townships. Next is to advertise for bids for the Port Authority Union Road widening, contract 200919. Next is from the engineer is to approve and execute, request to approve and execute an agreement with J.W. New, spelled N-E-W, for the Butler County Engineers Rain Garden Demonstration Project in the amount up to $11,365. And finally, under the engineer, they request you to approve the City of Fairfield's request for an allocation of funds from the Permissive Motor Vehicle Fuel Tax Fund for traffic signals in the amount of $4,984. As we move on to miscellaneous, we have 3 miscellaneous items to consider today. First is to receive and refer bids for pharmacy services for the Butler County Sheriff's Office. We received 5 bids in. 2 of the bids reflected only a 30-day supply. The other bids reflected the bid for the entire contract period of 1 year. Those bids range, the monthly bids were 15,000, or 30-day supply bids were 15,801 and 16,820. And the high bid for the year was $375,000. Next is to approve a petition for annexation to the City of Hamilton of 20.869 acres in St. Clair Township. And then finally, to approve an appointment to the Butler County Law Library Resources Board of Mr. Robert Lowry. Not finally, but this is finally. Finally, to approve 84 payments under the then and now certificates.
No changes or alterations, I move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolovet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes. We'll go back to our 9:30 agenda item, Talbert House. Neil, you gonna, whoever's gonna speak? Name and address for the record, please.
Mr. President, you know, I know Mr. Bowling and Mr. Reister are here for the annexation. Did you want to say anything about that? I mean, we just approved it, so, okay, just...
Mr. Reister, you're certainly able to, if you want some time at the podium, we'll give it to you. You all right? Yeah, I knew you were pretty smart. I'm sorry. Neil, go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for having us this morning. I've handed out a overview of the proposal, of a program that we would like to implement in the county for children and families who are being diverted from foster care. And I think all of you know a little bit about this, and we've worked with, of course, the Children's Services staff on this over the last few months. The proposal is to try to keep kids basically in Butler County. I'm not going to read this proposal. That isn't necessary. But the idea here is to keep children in our county. We don't want to have children placed outside the county. Many of the foster care placements are outside the county, so that would be the first thing. The second thing is to try to keep families intact. The idea here is to take families who are going into the family preservation unit at Children's Services and place them in a residential facility together with the mom or dad and the children together. Now, the average length of stay in foster care is about 1 year, and the average number of children per family in foster care is between 2 and 2.5. So what you really have to keep in mind is that we're trying to keep this threesome, usually a single parent and usually two children, together. And the goal here is to work on all the skills that they need to work on as parents and to try to keep the family stable. So if we can keep the family in the county, if we can keep them in a facility and provide these support and case management services, working with the family preservation unit at Children's Services, we think we can make a real difference here. Many of the families need living skills where they just don't understand. They get frustrated. They don't have good coping skills. We want to be on site to view this 24/7 with these families to observe what's really going on and intervene at the time when it's needed, not when most people do very well when you bring them in for an hour of counseling. Most of you would. I certainly would. If I had to go to family counseling, someone ordered me to, I'd do a good job in that 1 hour. It's when I left that the problems would start, the real problems would emerge again. We want to be there when the real problems are emerging. We want the support of Children's Services Family Preservation Unit. We want to provide the case management, the daily supervision, the living skills, the coping skills to make sure this family can do a better job and get back into independent living. The goal here is to place them for about 3 months. Most of the families who come into the Family Preservation Unit have young children, preschool age children. Most of them are under the age of 6. That would be the target population, but not the exclusive population. We'd look at other families on an as-needed basis, depending on what that particular family needed, and, of course, based on what Children's Services identified. As you know, over recent years, the burdening of the foster care system has gotten to be quite a bit. There are fewer foster care families who want to take in children. There are more regulatory requirements on them, and that's probably a good thing all in all, but it has made many families not want to be foster parents, so we have to go farther to find foster families, farther geographically. And so the idea here is if we can keep them in our county with our families being together, that would be a very good thing. In addition, the cost of even at $50 a day per child is in excess of $1 million, $1.1 million. At $73 a day, which is the high-end cost, it's $1.6 million. So the savings of this program will be someplace between $400,000 and $900,000 above its cost to the county. So what we're proposing is that we create a program here in the county at our North Star facility in Westchester that would keep families intact provide daily living skills and coping skills to them, that would monitor how they're doing as a family, with close coordination with Children's Services, that would save the county money. Now, the question might be asked, well, what if we don't save money? Well, if the worst case scenario is we spend the same amount of money we would spend on foster care in this facility, I would still submit that's a pretty good thing. If we can keep those families together and we can keep them in the county, that's a very good thing. If we can save somewhere between $400,000 and $900,000 on top of that, that's a great thing. So that's a quick summary of what we're trying to do here. The program would be certified. It would be evaluated. We anticipate we'd bring in about 24 families a year. That would be about 84 people in general, because you'd have the children in the one of the parents. For the most part, these are not two-parent families, so it's almost always one parent. We would do assessment, planning, intervention, and transition and discharge back out to get them back into independent living at the end of this three-month period. So I hope I've given you a brief overview. We've talked to some of you before. Mr. Williams was involved in some discussions about this initially, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Would you explain the cost a little bit more? You know, I'm curious on how you're doing this. Savings from
sure.
How you calculate that? How's that work exactly? Right. And what kind of space are you giving these people? What, I mean, you know, say you're going to have how many families at one time, and how much space?
Right. At any one time, we would anticipate there'd be about six families. As you know, the facility, we have about a 10,000 square foot facility, so it's quite adequate to handle this. There are a number of housing units. Or this is formerly a nursing home operation that we converted to a very, very nice facility, a one-story ranch type of facility out on Route 42. And it so there's plenty of room there for them, and about six families at any one time, so about 18 people could be in the building. There's a nice outdoor yard. There's an indoor recreation area in addition that's got about 18,000 square feet to it, or 1,800 square feet, excuse me. The families would share a bedroom, or possibly two, if the family was large enough. Previously, these bedrooms had there were four-unit bedrooms for the nursing operations. We put little dividing walls up so the mom could be on one side and the two children could be on the other side of the one child. So that's how the facility would work. The savings are as follows. We'll just use the $50 a day, the low-end savings. If each family is there for a year, and it's $50 a day, $50 times the 365 would get you up to about $20,000 a year per child. If there are going to be two children in each family, that's $40,000 a year for foster care placement for that family. So that's what it's costing you. So if one family comes in, the typical cost at the low end at $50 is about $40,000. If they come into us, the cost is for 3 months. Therefore, the length of stay is where most of your cost savings is.
What is your cost?
Our cost is $700,000 a year for the program. And I'd have to do my quick math here in terms of what the daily cost would be. But the daily cost is going to be about 70 some dollars a day, but you're only keeping the kids for the 3 months rather than the average is 12 months. So the big savings here is, in terms of the financial savings, is to keep the kids for a shorter period of time and not put them in foster care at all. Once they go in foster care, of course, it's very hard to get them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like anybody. You put somebody into a program like that, and if you're placing the child, let's just say, in a foster care a family over in Warren County, because that's where it's available, getting that family to go over and visit with that foster care child is very difficult. Trying to reunite that family gets more difficult the farther away they are. So by keeping the family intact and dealing with the problem at hand when it's occurring, in conjunction with the family preservation unit, that's really the opportunity here, Commissioner.
It seems to me there's also potential savings with the Children's Services worker. If there's six families or six people there at any one time, the supervision or visits can be consolidated into one place instead of driving all over the place, who knows where, and that travel cost could be a savings there also.
Absolutely. I think it's very important to note, though, this has to be a close partnership with Children's Services for this to be successful, and I think we could make that happen, and I think Jeff feels the same way. That the family preservation workers, this is their total job, is to try to keep families united and intact and not place children where they don't need to be. The least restrictive environment is kind of the code here. Let's not put people in environments that they don't need. And that's true with seniors, that's true with people who are offenders, that's true with mentally ill. Whatever population is, let's have the least restrictive environment you can. We think this is the least restrictive environment. Let's keep the families together, let's keep them in the county, and let's save some money while we do it. And again, even if we didn't, and Jeff and I had this conversation, even if it wasn't a savings of money and it cost the exact same thing, it would cost the exact same thing as the county's paying now.
Neil, you said your cost is $700,000. Is this on a bed day, or how are we going to determine the unit cost? Are we going to just a standard flat contract? We're talking about unit cost. Which way are you going?
We would prefer the standard flat contract, because we're, again, as you know, Commissioner Dixon, from the discussion about North Star, we have a certain fixed cost to operate the facility, and so that's what we would prefer. It'll also encourage, I think, us to have a high level of cooperation with the Children's Services folks to make sure the beds are filled. We could go, but we're open to negotiate that. For example, we could say, well, let's have a flat cost for part of it, and let's have a per diem on the top side of it, so that there's an incentive for both of us to make sure the facility is well used.
I think we're looking at, at least I am looking at getting away from flat cost contracts.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to run under our maximum quota, and when you start doing the math, it's pretty expensive. I don't know how we do that. Maybe a blend of that would be something, but I think that's some new territory that needs to be explored.
We'd be willing to negotiate, and for perhaps a sliding scale where the first beds are more expensive and the later beds are less expensive, so we get some of our fixed costs covered by a higher cost for the first couple beds filled, and then it keeps dropping down so that when all the beds are filled, we're at $712,000 a year,
yeah,
and we back into that.
My last question would be, if you're talking about keeping these people there for 90 days...
That's an average, right?
How are you going to change that pattern in 90 days? Because that seems like this would only be successful if, in fact, they stayed out of foster care and stayed intact. And how do you see 90 days being able to do that? That they just don't turn around and then right in 90 days end up back in the foster care system?
That's a great question. That's where the family preservation staff at Children's Services is so important to this, because that transition and discharge out, you can change some of the behavior. Where the behavior remains changed once they're back home is another story. But if we have 90 days of stabilization and respite, and someone helping that family, someone thinking about how to coach them on different kinds of activities, and when they get frustrated, what else to do, and think that through. We'll also be providing adjunct services, drug and alcohol, mental health, and health services, nurse practitioner services that we build separately, not through the Children's Services, but through Medicaid. We think that those services can wrap around and provide the stabilization period that this family really will need.
So it's an intervention, it's an early intervention program.
And stabilization. And then the goal is, as Commissioner Jolivet said, to have those family preservation staff there, the efficiency of that, have them in the facility on a regular basis with those families, working these issues out so that you've kind of build it up. It's much like, well, someone goes in with a chronic condition to a hospital. We don't keep them in the hospital for long periods of time. We transition them out to step-down programs and nursing care programs and everything else. And this is the same thing. They could be followed in the community to their community agency, or we could follow them in with the continued mental health or drug and alcohol counseling that may be there. There's a very high correlation between depression and foster care. There's a very high correlation between substance abuse and families who are in foster care. And so those adjunct services could be very important in stabilizing that family as well.
Okay. Anybody have any questions, Chuck?
No, it's hard to quantify a success in a situation like this because anything of this nature, obviously, but we'll be keeping tabs as this goes along. Is that be given reports to show what's taking place through Jeff, I suppose?
That's exactly correct. And on the back page, we talk about the evaluation section. We would want to set up on the front end, what are the outcomes expected? How are we going to measure those? Not just days served. Those are throughputs. We want to know, are we changing lives or not? Back to Commissioner Dixon's question about, you know, was 90 days enough? Well, 90 days will give us a status on how they're doing, and then we'll track it. One of the things that we use is something called antisocial behavior. A lot of disadvantaged clients are somewhat antisocial in their thinking. Well, we have a measurement tool that we measure at the front end, we measure at the back end, and we'd be happy to measure it once they're out in the community for 90 days, too, to see how they're doing. You know, we don't want a program that will benefit Talbert House. We want a program that will benefit the county and these children and these families. And if we can be part of that, that's great.
So
absolutely, outcomes are important to us.
So it would be correct if we titled this like a pilot program that we could keep close monitoring numbers on, and we have to both agree going in that we're into this thing 6 months. The results are not looking good. We need to just cut our losses, go to another mode, not just stay at it, right?
We are definitely there, Commissioner. We don't want to stay with it too long. We've done that before, and it has always been successful.
So I think it's kind of a model we can look at in how we do some of our other contracts.
And you're looking for a quick decision on this. I think you mentioned that very soon you'd like to know.
Right.
You do have some time-sensitive decisions to make.
That's correct. We started these conversations maybe 3 or 4 months ago. And so we've been at it a while in terms of the design and the planning with Jeff and his staff. We are closing our current facility down at the end of the month, so we'd like to, and we have a option to stay in the facility or to terminate our agreement on the facility. And so we would just need to know soon enough so we could exercise that option within due time. We would look at probably a start date of sometime in September, early October, so we'd have time to ramp it up because we want to do it right. We'd have to have some more planning time in terms of working out all the issues that you all have raised and others have. But the decision on a go forward or not, we would appreciate a quick decision on that, yes.
Well, I appreciate that. I've got one issue that I need to, that I'm sitting here thinking about, and that is how do we know that that 700 number that you've got plugged in is a competitive number?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's competitive with the cost of foster care. So again,
we got foster care levels from all over.
Right.
I mean, out of placement. I mean, we got some in placement, but how do we do that? That's a $64,000 question.
I guess it always is. When you compare our rates to other, the Children's Services has a rate schedule they have with many other providers, and I think if you compared this with the rate schedule that is out there, we would be extremely competitive, not just competitive, with this.
Will you have some sort of analysis, financial analysis for us, Jeff?
Yeah, we can do that. Basically, what I saw from the proposal was that they developed an operating budget based on staff, utilities costs, building costs, those kind of things, and came up with a total cost, but there was not a unit cost broken down into that. So that's the one thing that's lacking from it. Basically, the budget is based on operating costs.
What I'm looking for, and this is, I'm looking for something to give us a baseline on the initial amount charged. So I guess you have to go out and find other programs that offer that and can do the comparison.
Yeah, we can do that. This is a program. I mean, essentially, it is a residential treatment program, which tend to be a little more on the expensive side, and we try to have to find something that's comparable to this. It's not just for children only, but families. Really kind of a low, not as intensive environment as a resident, a normal residential facility would be. But try to develop a unit cost, like we said, is what we'll have to do to do that. And I think that should be done, because I'm Neil quite comfortable doing this for the state anyway on an annual basis for facilities, so we can
right.
do that.
Just doing a quick little math here, it's about half the cost of what we were running previously at North Star. And I think you're familiar with what that cost structure was, and we were able to get that price down quite a bit this last contract period. And this would be not quite half, but almost half of that. So when you look at it just in context to what it cost previously, what we reduced it to, and this would be a further reduction, I think you would find that it would be very competitive. But we can provide all that information to the administration.
Just kind of a rough sketch I did, Don, for that. Looks like it might be around 130 a day per tile, but that's just a rough sketch. I have to verify those numbers with Neil.
So you will work up something for us to review, look at, and okay, the board?
Yeah. Yes. I think that what the board is, all I'm hearing is that, you know, you have our blessing to go forward, to keep moving and trying to get all the I's dotted and T's crossed and bring it back before us.
Thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
No, they lease it. I lost my agenda. Here it is. We'll go to comments from the audience. Comments, questions, concerns. Anyone from the audience have anything? The board have anything else? We are going to hopefully entertain a motion to go to executive session to discuss personnel. After that, we'll convene in regular session and probably take some action as far as the Children's Services Director's position goes.
So move.
Second. To move into executive session.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.